Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Sequoia, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the Joint Free series. Welcome, Sequoia.
Hi, Jen.
Hey. So that name is a bit more mysterious than most things that we talk about. So I thought we might start by talking about what is the Joint Free series?
Really? That might get people's attention.
Exactly. You know, reflective listening buddies or There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, those tend to kind of have, you know, the title itself tells you a lot. Although the title itself of this tells you a lot, too, if you knew what we were talking about.
Exactly. Yes. So what is the Joint Freeing series? It's a form of yoga practice that I was introduced to by Beth at Center, and it was created by a person named, let me see if I don't want to ruin his name here, Mukunda Style.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for me, it was a yoga practice that I took to instantly. And yeah. I have done a lot of different practices, discovered a lot of different yoga teachers over the years, a lot of different practices. And this was the first one that I was introduced to that was an instant stick.
Wow.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
It just has, since Beth taught it, I have practiced it on a regular basis, and I don't know how long that is, but it's probably a couple of years now, which is big.
What was that last piece?
It's big.
That is big. Yes. And, you know, I don't know if a piece of it, if this is true for you, Sequoia, but I'm resonating so far with everything you're saying, that it's simple. And it's also very easy. I was going to say, quote, easy, but it is quite easy. And yet it has such a big impact.
It does. And, you know, I love the opportunity to speak about it on open air on Good News because, you start to really look at things and maybe in a little bit.
Isn't that fun?
It is fun. And I realized one of the things that really resonated with me was that this was a practice, there was absolutely no way to get into the spirit of competition. You can do the Joint Freeing series in a room full of people, and no one is doing the Joint Freeing series better.
Better than you are. Oh, look at her twist her wrist. That's incredible.
And I think it's the first yoga practice. You know, you can go to a class and the teacher is saying, you know, just go at your own pace. But in the meanwhile, they're doing something that maybe you couldn't even do as a baby, you know. And, you know, you practice with it. I'm perfect there. But for me, at least, there's always just this little bit of, boy, you know, you've got a ways to go before you, you know, get to that there. But that's not so with the Joint Freeing series.
Well, and I don't know if this is a piece of what you're saying with it, but I really, what I got when you were saying that was it's such an invitation to be present to our body. I mean, I suppose every movement, you know, especially things like yoga are designed for that. That's what they invite us to do, is to be present to the physical experience, which at least in cultures like this one, boy, are we trained not to do that, right? As I think Sherry talks about, we basically just drag the body along behind us, right? And I've got my agenda, and the body's kind of irrelevant until something, quote, goes wrong with it, and then I'm mad that it's not serving me in the way that I want it to serve me. But that something like the Joint Free series in particular, because there's a way in which it's subtle, it's simple, it's quiet, it's quote, easy, that it really invites that presence that can be quite lovely and intimate.
Very. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And it invites the presence, and it, for me, it's just such a lovely way to, what we were talking about in group, I think it was last Thursday, that attention is a form of love.
Yeah.
And it's a way to bring attention to every part of the body.
Yep.
You know, I can do other poses, and, you know, there's a lot of different parts all involved at once. But this way, this series really lets you look at each individual, each
joint.
Individual portion of your body, and bring attention to it. And it is just such a great way to love it.
Yeah. You know, and that's such a good point on the content level, that I think that is the case, that this series truly walks through every movement of every joint in the body, which that's quite educational too, you know, to have that. And from what I have experienced in Beth offering it, there are different ways you can approach it. So one day you might approach it and are really just moving the joints kind of a way. And there are also ways to do it that add strengthening to it. So again, even though it's this very seemingly simple thing, there are these sort of layers, levels of impact it can have depending on how we're approaching it.
Yes, that's exactly one of the things I love about it too. It's so it's so adaptable to any circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it, mm-hmm. you know, I haven't tried this yet, but you could probably do it sitting in an airplane, you know. It's
where I went,
you know,
yep.
There's just like no place, and it's adaptable to different levels of health and, you know, physical well-being. And as you said, all of the exercises can be turned into strengthening exercises. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it has introduced me to muscles I didn't know existed. If I turn my toes outward and then,
right.
you know, turn back, it activates a muscle that I don't usually, am not usually aware of.
Right,
and,
right.
Yeah. And I actually lately have even turned, you can have so much fun with it. I've actually turned it into some dance moves. And, you know, it's just mm-hmm. quite fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can picture it. I can definitely picture it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's too fun. And, you know, I just found out today that there's a joint-free series video that is now live on our keepitsimple.org website that people can download.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that amazing? I'll be doing that.
I think I will, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's keepitsimple.org.
Uh-huh.
And when I went to keepitsimple.org, I just scrolled down on the very first page, I guess the landing page, and there it was.
Fabulous.
So, yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, it's just a great series. And, you know, it's one of those things that, like you said, it seems very simple and very easy, but it's very powerful, and it's, you know, that little simple, easy, step-by-step, day-by-day has just, it makes big impact on the body.
Yeah, and, you know, that's another great point, Sequoia, because, you know, as you say, conditioning wants to make everything into a contest. And so we just finished the whole month on a lovely month on the year-long retreat of self-care. And I think a lot of people were looking at, you know, taking care of the physical body and exercise and that sort of thing as a big part of that. And that having something, a simple practice, especially having a video that you can mm-hmm. download that will walk you through it, that somehow just seems... It's a bit like showing up for meditation in the virtual meditation group, right? There's something there that helps kind of prompt me, get me to it.
Mm-hmm.
But that having a practice like that over time and staying with it, that is so transformative on the physical, the spiritual, the emotional, on every level. Mm-hmm. Because it, again, like we've been talking about so much on the year-long retreat, it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper mm-hmm. in a way that jumping around to this and then that, and now let's try that, doesn't yes. have that same impact.
Yes. Yeah. Simple does it.
Yes, exactly. So much gratitude for you for being with us this afternoon to talk about your experience, and also gratitude to Beth for bringing that to us, bringing that practice to Sangha.
Much gratitude. And I just want to say, a word about that is that, her kindness and compassion and just, I think that.
And knowledge.
And her enthusiasm for it.
It's so good, isn't it? Because, there's so much that we as Sangha have our attention on that we can't really, all of us, have all of our attention on it all the time. Mm-hmm. But we're a team, right? So Beth always got her attention on that. And then she cycles it around and makes a video, and now we all have that, right? Or, Sri Devi's got her attention on Africa. So, okay, good. So now she, Africa. And Sequoia's in there cooking. Okay, good. I'm glad someone's going to feed us. And, we're an amazing team, really.
It is. It does take a team, and I'm so grateful. What a great team. Yeah.
Me too. Thank you, Sequoia. Thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Thanks, Jen.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Take care. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Sequoia. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
That was a fun conversation.
It was, wasn't it? Free in those joints. There's nothing like it.
Yes. What dropped in for me at the end there, I think something Ashwini said, is that the intelligence that animates needs all of us in order to express all of that intelligence in all of these different ways through these different beings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that point that it's too much for any one of us. you can't do it. It takes a team.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I have announcements, unless you'd like to start us in a different direction.
No, that's good.
Okay. The Family Karma Retreat coming up in North Carolina is an opportunity to investigate the ego, the, quote, story of me, unquote, so that we will be able to see the many ways that story is still dominating us today. And the retreat will guide us in practicing the tools that enable us to transcend ego's control. The retreat, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just agreeing that it will indeed.
Okay. Yes. The retreat, April 15th through 20th, includes yoga, meditation, and guidance with you, Sherry.
Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of spots still available in it, and I'm hoping somebody will listen to that voice that said, that'd probably be good for me to do and join us there, because it is such a wonderful support for everything we're looking at in the year-long retreat. So especially somebody doing that, it's a good combination.
Yeah, to be on retreat in that immersive environment where everything in my day is practice, and I sleep and I'm in practice, and and step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up at the Your Practice Retreat, May 4th through 11th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California. This retreat offers individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for the week.
Mm-hmm.
Practice weekends at the monastery offer an opportunity to deepen support for awareness practice in the peace and beauty of the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murfrees, California. These weekends include a practice activity and guidance with Sherry or Ashwini. A practice weekend is coming up May 16th through 19th. And the powerful There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat is a chance to see directly how we are rejected and punished by the voices of self-hate and to discover how to let that go. This foundational work is challenging, joyous, scary, and loving, and among the most important work you will ever do. Registration has opened for retreats June 8th through 15th and June 29th through July 6th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murfrees, California.
A lovely place to be.
A lovely place to be. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And some reminders for today's show. If you'd like to talk with Sherry, you can get in the queue by pressing *6 and then 1. That's how you make a show. And a conversation on one topic lasts about 5 minutes is great. Okay, I think we're ready, Sherry.
All right. There we go.
There we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Chris in Three Rivers.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hello, Sherry and Michael. I just jumped in the queue and just nothing particular except to express my gratitude and just so blessed and thrilled to be part of Sangha and to be walking along with all of us.
You have a good time at the monastery?
Oh, that's an understatement. Wonderful. I mean, you know, wonderful. The heart, just heaven, and you know, a bear to the voices. So it's just wonderful.
Good. Good.
And just so thrilled to be in the year-long retreat workshop.
Mm.
And really benefiting from that, and not too much to say. I just wanted to say hello and how incredibly helpful that visiting monk opportunity was, especially the way the schedule was structured. Just so helpful to be able to bring that back into my life here and outside the monastery, and I don't know. It was just wonderful, and so thankful to the monks and to the monastery and to you and to all of us for just showing up and just
making this happen.
So blessed. Yeah. So thankful.
Good.
And I love the focus we've been having on health, and as the body has been sometimes neglected or overused and whatnot, and it just feels great. In fact, today I just came from getting some really good blood test results after having not had a checkup in years and years and years, and just stepping up and, you know, feeling like an adult and really just loving and being, feeling so blessed to be alive, to be on this beautiful planet at this time, and just walking the path with Sangha. It's just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that, Chris. The focus on taking care of the body, and that notion of stepping up and being a grown up, you know, being a good steward for this physical form that takes such good care of us and allows us to do all of these wonderful things that we want to do. So to be in that appreciative, reciprocal relationship where the body takes care of us and we take care of the body, and as we finished last month, living in appreciation for all of it, It's just a it's just a really lovely way to live, isn't it?
Oh, it's so wonderful. And just whatever, you know, whatever happens next, knowing that it's just here to help me to end suffering, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
yeah.
You know, yeah. I don't know, some thought just flew through my head, but anyway, whatever it was. Thank you. And
yeah. Knowing that you're equal to your life. Yeah.
Yeah. And that so supported.
Yeah. And that we can approach everything with that gratitude. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Oh, that reminds me. Just that I've been, well, whenever I'm somewhat conscious, as far as I can tell, every step, I just, you know, it's my mantra is thank you. And it's thank you to, it could be, you know, a bazillion different things. The fact that I'm able to still walk, that I'm, you know, like we said before, an endless amount of thanks to give. And it's just a nice mantra, a nice thing to hang on to instead of going to a conversation when I'm not recording and listening, which has amped up a ton and is so, so helpful.
Oh, good. Deepening that habit at the monastery.
Yes, it was a wonderful opportunity. It was a real, real boot camp for me. I just so thankful for that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Got a friend.
All right, you guys. Oh,
all
sorry.
Right. But... No, just that. Just that feeling of, I mean, there's all of us together, yes, and even when you're far away at home, there's that realization that you're not alone. Because you've got that recording and listening practice that keeps you in touch with that kind presence that animates you and that is always there supporting and encouraging and taking care of.
It's just amazing, this existence, you know, this universe and this life force that is just so supportive, no matter how it looks, the content. It's not the content. It's just always so supportive, and I want to
full of love.
Support practice, too. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's lovely to hear from you, as always.
Great to hear your voices.
Care of yourself.
Thanks so much, and thanks to Michael for always being here, and to you, Sherry. Okay, take care.
All right. Thanks,
Go
Chris.
Happy.
Good night. Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. Sherry, that appreciation for our practice and Sangha and life, it just never gets old. Seems like I'm repetitious, repetitive, and yet that's our experience, it seems.
Yeah, and we are. We are. I don't know who was talking about it recently, probably us and everybody else in Sangha, but the to realize that we live in kindness and gratitude, that's the world we live in, is truly extraordinary. I was somewhere today, I was in a store, as a matter of fact, and I was just aware, I kind of go around, I don't know, I might be annoying to most people, but I like to engage with people and say hello and ask how they are and that sort of thing. What I would get back was almost felt like a shock, you know, that people are engaging with other than this is how much you owe and there you are and thank you and no problem. And when it came out of the story, I thought, my gosh, they seem so unhappy. You know, and the fact of the matter is, it's a beautiful day. We're in a beautiful place. There's really nothing wrong. And yet the tendency toward unhappiness that happens to people when we get pulled into living in that negativity and conditioned mind, and to realize not only is it not necessary, but we know how not to do that, that we can actually live our lives in kindness and appreciation. And it's extraordinary.
It is extraordinary. Yeah, that's the word that drops in. Yeah, extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. And so available for anybody who wants to choose it. That's the other part that's extraordinary. You know, it's not, Chris alluded to this, you know, it's not that we live in that world because everything always goes our way, because we're privileged and blah, blah, blah. Sure, you know, most of us are privileged, and certainly compared to most of the rest of the world, there's no question about that. And very, very privileged people can live in utter misery based on their relationship with what goes on in conditioned mind. So it's not a matter of material stuff that makes a difference for people. Not at all. It's where we choose to live. Whether we choose to live in kindness, in presence, in the unconditional, or we choose to be off with ego in a negative conversation. It's not, you know, there's no mystery to it.
Well, as you've said 1,000 times before, the quality of our life is determined by the focus of our attention.
Precisely. Yeah. And we know how to learn to train the attention.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to want to do it. We have to want to do that more than we want to suffer. And then it happens. It doesn't happen usually overnight, but it does happen. And I said to somebody recently, you know, if you would give this 2 years, if you would practice this for 2 years, your life would move from suffering to gratitude and joy. 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I can guarantee that, because I've watched it happen over and over and over with people. And it happens long before the 2 years is up. But by 2 years, you know, you're not going to go back. You're just never going to go back, no matter what happens.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a good deal.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Sherry in San Francisco.
Well, hello, Sherry.
Well, hello. I'm very happy to be here.
Good. Me too.
I love all this conversation. It's interesting because just this morning I was on a call with this group of women. We speak once a month, and the conversation came up about how people often say you have to go through pain, you have to go through darkness to learn, and people were talking about how wonderful to learn through joy. And so this conversation is kind of reminding me, I'm feeling like this is a great day for that kind of conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That what a supportive statement for ego, that you really have to suffer in order to grow spiritually. Or if you're not suffering, you won't be compassionate toward others. Or you'll just, if you're not suffering and struggling, you'll just become egocentric, whatever it is.
Right.
And it's just such a load of hooey.
Right, and there's a lot of that. These women, a lot of them are creative, artistic types, and of course there's a lot of that sort of cliche, you know, you have to suffer to be a writer, you have to be suffering to be a painter, you have to be, you know, you have to go to some depth of despair, and it's great. And again, I was listening to that first conversation and watching the energy in my body lift and lift and lift. And from that place, obviously, we all know so much is possible.
Yes. Yes. So one of the poets there are a number of poets that I enjoy. In modern times, Mary Oliver. In ancient times, along with almost the rest of the world, Rumi.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these people did not seem to hold that belief.
In
fact, quite the opposite. You know, I mean, Mary Oliver is just like, just pay attention. You know, just pay attention and here it is. And that's not to say she didn't go through difficult times in her life, because of course she did, just like everybody does. But it wasn't the woe is me, life is, which I think it, in art as everywhere else, is really overdone. You know, to have conditioning, create for conditioning, really, gosh, there's been so much of that. Do you know what I mean? Another novel about conditioned mind acting out of conditioned mind in conditioned ways. Really? I think we've all lived that. Do we really need to read about it or see it on the screen or on a stage? I don't know.
Yeah, I think you do know.
I think I do. I think I know where I come down on that, but I don't know about other people.
Yeah. Well, and I love that you just brought up Mary Oliver, because she, I think, as far as I know, has been one of the most popular poets of this contemporary poets. And I think that's really a positive thing to see. Why are people so attracted to her? She walks out in nature and she looks at caterpillars and she notices the each leaf on a tree, right? And that's beautiful to me, that there seems to be this desire for that presence.
Yeah, there's resonance there. Yeah. Somebody who will sit still somewhere long enough that deer come up and nuzzle her cheek. You know, that's a being still and being present that I think the world could use more of.
Yes. And, you know, to go back to this first conversation on the call tonight, in a similar vein, oftentimes I grew up in a world where people thought it was more interesting to talk about drama or hard things.
Ain't it awful?
What'd you say?
Ain't it awful?
Yes.
That whole, let's talk about everything that's wrong and hard and not working and problems.
Right.
Yeah, drama.
And then to have, because I was noticing that during that conversation of, I could listen to this for the next 16 hours. If people just want to call in and, you know, give thanks and say, it's not boring. And I think that's another interesting thing that I, you know, just seeing this today, it's really fascinating.
Yes, it is boring to ego, that's for sure. But it's not boring to the heart, right? So people being happy and expressing that, enjoying that, being grateful for it, talking about kindness and caring and that sort of thing. Yeah, exactly. The heart can just be there in that forever.
Oh, thank you. I'm just going to say one last quick thing before I hop off, which is that yesterday I had meditation group on Monday nights, and during the day I noticed an old thing happening. The conditioning was, what are you going to talk about? What are you going to talk about in group? What do you think you're going to talk about in group? Which is, I haven't experienced that in a long time. And
you said, not you.
Or you, right? Like, I'm going to talk about how crazy conditioning. I'm going to put the spotlight on conditioning. But anyway, I realized that my deep, deep gratitude for the radio shows, you know, both the morning calls and the evening calls, that they've been a place where I've practiced for many years, tonight being one of them, showing up and seeing what life brings in. And it was great to be able to see that yesterday, like, wow, that is an interesting thing that I'm glad isn't in my life so much at all anymore.
Yes, yes. Because, so learning to just show up and be present for whatever life offers is, of course, what we're attempting to do in practice. So that voice of ego, what are you going to talk about? What are you going to look at? What are you going to say? That, of course, is what keeps us from being able to be present and just express whatever is there. So it's really, it's a twofold plot, right? And not only are we subjected to that, but we're not available for the wisdom, love, and compassion that life would bring us.
Yes. Yes. And in this case, I know for a fact that if I had that, what are you going to talk about, going on during that first caller, I would have entirely missed all that expansiveness and beauty and joy that I got to feel during that call, conversation. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
threefold then, isn't it? Right? That's the third piece of it. So not only are you listening to dribble, you're not present for life, and you miss what everybody else is bringing to the party.
Right. And the fourth piece, just to end it all, is I don't think that this whole conversation about Mary Oliver and being up, like the conversation we just had, would not have existed because I would have had some robotic thing to tell you that conditioning had crafted.
Yes, robotic. So, boy, that's it, isn't it?
I'm so grateful. Thank you.
I know. I hear you. Me too. It's just the best. It really is.
Deep Gosh Show. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Sherry.
Deep Gosh Show to you. Go happy.
I will. You too. Bye-bye.
All right.
Thanks for joining us, Sherry. And Sherry Huber, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Susan from Jacksonville, Florida.
Well, hello, Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hello.
How's re-entry?
Well, as you can see, I still should be on the Huber cure, but it's been pretty rough, to be honest with you. I find me during the day of being aware and doing practice and listening to the call and then the year-long retreat, listening to the radio show, and it's like I really am finding, my life had not been built around that before I went to and spent 4 weeks at the monastery, just leaving last Saturday. But now I find, there's so many things fighting against me doing those things. First of all, let me just say thank you. I am so grateful for the time, for the 4 weeks there, the monks, the Sangha, all the support. It was overwhelming. And, when I was immersed in it, and the opportunity to really take care of yourself, it was just incredible. And when I was excited to see people, but as soon as I left the monastery, within an hour, I was throwing up. I was sick all the way from an hour from there to Oakland to Denver. To Denver, my layover on the way back to Florida. It was just, and I wanted to die because I felt so miserable. And the whole environment was so overwhelming. All the cars, all the signs, it was just so overwhelming to me. And so now that I'm back at home, and then I got home and I had to put my little kitty down, who is very old. I know. And then he had started failing just this last week, so I had to put him down. So it was like, I want to go back. It's hard. It was really hard. Much harder than I it had never been before.
Mm-hmm. And so part of that, so part of it is just that it's a shock to the nervous system when we've
yeah.
been living such a quiet, peaceful life
yeah.
surrounded by beauty and eating really good food and
yeah.
all of those kinds
yeah.
of things.
All
and
those
you
things.
Go back into society. But then I'm also hearing that you're very aware of the forces within that want to stop you from continuing with that kind of gentle care of the human being.
Right. I feel all these tugs, you know, to do something else or to go here or to do that or make this phone call or do, you know, and I'm aware of them and trying to, you know, pause.
Uh-huh.
And bring some awareness to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so far I've been pretty successful in, you know, keeping up practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping it's going to get easier.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that I would encourage, as I'm sure you know, is just to make sure that you have a solid period of solitude and silence every day.
Oh,
if
yeah.
you can be in nature, to add that element, but definitely the solitude and silence. So that, well, two things about that. So that one, you are aware of the forces that are working against you. And you do have increased your chances of getting back to yourself. So that, you know, along with if you're in the, you know, listening to the morning shows and doing those assignments and that sort of thing. And I think you're going to pursue coaching. I think I've heard
yeah.
that rumor. Yeah. And so, pardon me?
I hope to. Yes, I hope to, and I signed up for the buddy, the
mm-hmm. reflective listening buddies.
Reflective
yeah.
listening buddy. Yeah, I've signed up. I wanted to go to the retreat in North Carolina. It's just not going to work out this soon after being away for 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? You never know.
You never know. Things
something
happen.
Might come up, and there might still be it, right. I was really ready when I left there. I was ready to go to it, and then
yeah,
it was just a kind of, you know, trying to
a lot
get some kind of bearings. Yeah, in here.
Mm-hmm.
But I really yeah. want to come back. May I come back, please?
Yes. Now that you know where it is, huh?
Oh yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
No, I'm very serious, and I would love to spend forever there, but I'm not sure if that's in the cards for a long time, you know,
mm-hmm.
longer than next time. And if
yeah,
that
well,
out,
and
you guys.
Right, and the main thing, the reason that I wish everybody would do what you just did, to come for that kind of extended period of time, is that it does deepen our desire to live a more calm, peaceful, centered, relaxed, kind life. And, you know, there's all of the, oh, I'm so busy, I'm so this, I'm so that, I'm so, okay, well, you know, you witnessed it. An awful lot can get done, but it doesn't have to cause us to leave that kind of conscious, compassionate awareness that we're all moving toward being in more. So, yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
And you'll stay with it and to the best of your ability. And when you get to that, you'll know when the time comes, okay, I need a booster shot. I need to get plugged back in again. And deepen everything so that I can, again, return to life, the life that is yours to live, and practice within that, because that's what we're called to do.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it was so illuminating. It was a treasure. Thank you so much. And to the monks who are just so compassionate. They're very supportive of your practice, you know, and paying attention, which was great. And it was just, they're all treasures. I mean, I've never been healthier. My body, I went to the doctor this morning. They said, you lost some weight. You're doing good. And I went, oh, I just went.
although that needs to go.
I know. I went this morning. I think that the doctor told me what I had was an exacerbation of my asthma.
Uh-huh.
From this cold I had. I'm not sure if that's what's really going on. And I wish I had time for the Cuban cure right now, but my daughter's coming for her first visit after moving away to a job on Thursday morning. So,
well, you'll just do your best to take the best care of yourself that you can as all of that goes on. And again, time every day in silence and solitude, and don't lose your recording and listening practice, and we're here.
I did that last night, and yeah, I mean, it really helped as some of these tough things came up. So thank you again, Sherry, and I recommend it to everybody.
Yeah, me too. I'm going tomorrow, as a matter of fact. I'm down at Center now because we have group at Center on Thursday night. And then it became clear, talking with the monks this morning, that coming into spring and retreat season starting, we really need to go to work on the property up there. So I'm actually going up tomorrow, and very excited about it. So already told Sequoia, cooking for one more. All right.
All right, take care.
All right. Thank you, Susan. Take care.
You too. Go happy, teachers.
Go happy.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Susan. I heard more of that. Gratitude, Sherry, seems to be a theme for tonight's show.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Kind of a theme for our lives, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're going to hear from our recording and listening ad, and then we'll be right back, Sherry.
All right.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. Recording and listening is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation and conditioned mind, we can live in what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Vanessa. Can you hear me? No.
Yes. Sherry, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Vanessa. I'm sorry I was muted. Sorry about that, Michael.
That's right.
As, you know, being uber responsible.
Yeah.
Dual responsible. How are you, Vanessa?
Well, I am doing really well, actually. Thank you for asking. And what I wanted to, I guess, or what I was thinking about talking about was how, So I just saw something today that was so helpful. And I've been, you know, the past month with the year-long retreat, sort of my focus was basically like kindness and trying to receive kindness as I exercised or stretched in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I have actually do the joint freeing series and just trying to really receive that and in kindness instead of like, okay, let's get it done. And wow, it was really like, I felt like, and I'm still sort of looking at that with my Zen coach, was so hard. Like, it just felt like the more the month went on, the more the voices of self-hate were just like piling it on, and just it just getting more and more intense and more I don't know, I was just like, what is going on? So a few things happened or that I noticed through that was, because I've been sort of on the other side of that, where I know that the kindness is available, and I know that that I'm not all the things that self-hate is telling me, and I can kind of I know it's out there, but I felt like I couldn't get there. And then I don't know. I felt like I was doing all the things. I was recording and listening. I was doing my stretches. I was listening to the calls and following. And it wasn't happening. And then, what I think the two things were, in a coaching call, my coach said, because my assignment was to do a two-handed recording, and there was a lot of resistance to that, because I didn't want to hear the what I thought was just those voices of self-hate and all the whining. Like, I just didn't want to hear it, because I felt like it was just going to bring me to that place. So I just wanted to record positive things, like what's true. But what was pointed out to me was, well, in that, I guess one of the things that you can do with that two-handed recording, one of the many, is you just let all that out. And then as you're listening, you listen with compassion, like you're turning to compassion for that person.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I guess I knew that, I don't know, but anyways, it was like, oh, okay. So just to, one, have the permission to say all that, and then to experience both the receiving and the giving of the compassion, just listening. It wasn't no problem solving. There was no nothing. It was just like, oh, okay. Just that compassion was really amazing. And I'm not letting you say anything, but so you're following along.
I'm following. I'm loving every second of it.
So the other thing that I saw, I think it was this morning, that really turned the corner was, and I think it was one of the calls, I don't remember which day it was, but about, you said something like the one of the best things that you can ever do for, I don't know who you would, what the pronoun was, but say yourself, was to, I'm not going to say this correctly, but it was to not take things personally, basically, to get to stop letting ego take everything personally.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of feels like that feeds into that. As soon as everything that's going on that I think is about me isn't me, as soon as it's not personal, as soon as it's just what's happening, it's all, while it's all, like, I can still feel compassion, it's all fine. It's all kind of interesting and fine, and I can, you know, I just, it's just amazing. Like, the whole world just flips when it's not, when I'm not a me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So let me ask you this. So in listening, so there she is, right? There she is. She is going to see if she can do her this process, I guess, the joint freeing series with kindness, right? That's what she's going to attempt to do. So both of those are really great things, right? One, it's taking care of the body. Two, it's taking care of the body with kindness. So what can we complain about there, right? And her reward is to be bludgeoned increasingly day by day with self-hatred.
Mm-hmm.
So then you get to this point where thank goodness for coaches, huh? You get the encouragement to do a two-handed recording. And you do that two-handed recording, and for the first time, you have the distance to be able to see her for who she is, for what she's doing, and what she's being put through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And you realize it doesn't have anything to do with her. She's a really good human being who's trying to do a really good thing. And she's being beaten by hateful voices. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you also, not only is it clear that it doesn't have anything to do with her, that this is just something that goes on, but you realize, because you've been practicing for a while, it goes on with everybody. But there's such a perfect example from your own experience right there where it all comes together. And you can see those voices really are hateful. And they really do what they're doing for no reason except they're hateful.
Yeah.
They're not doing it because she's a bad person or she's doing something wrong.
Yeah.
That's not why they're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You can be doing everything, quote unquote, right, and they still have the same story. Yeah,
that's exactly right.
It's still,
and so to see it so clearly, to see it so clearly that it's not personal. It literally, it has nothing to do with you, and therefore the realization. I mean, where we go with that is, so if this is never going to work, I think I'll stop trying that. I think I'll stop trying to please those voices. If they can never be pleased, then why am I putting myself through that? Just enjoy doing your joint freeing series with a really lovely human being.
Yeah, that was one thing. It's like if being an ego, I was thinking about this today, or it dropped in today, that because I was like, why am I? Oh, I'm so miserable, and I'm always working, and I'm always trying. And but what I saw was, it's like, well, it's miserable to be an ego. It's miserable to be identified with egocentric karmic conditioning and trying to fix that, because it's misery. That's what it is.
Yes.
Like, there's just there's no way. So as soon as you're can get disidentified from that and realize that's not real and not you, then it's like, oh, okay. I don't have to be.
It's
not misery anymore.
What you're saying is so perfect, that ego is miserable. It is misery, yeah. And it is miserable. It does not want to be fixed. It does not want to be happy. Mm-hmm. It does not want to have to enjoy life, to feel grateful, to feel loved. It doesn't want any of those things. It wants to be miserable. And the way we can know mm-hmm. that is that's all it looks at. That's all it talks about. That's all it's interested in. When Sherry said, you know, drama, that's all ego wants. Mm-hmm. What's wrong? What's yep. wrong? Let's talk about it. Let's focus on it. Let's get into it. And beyond that, let's compare it, because I'm pretty sure I have it harder than you do, okay? I have a lot more reason to be miserable than you do, yeah? And so that's just how that is. That's what that world is like. And as you say, as soon as we disidentify from it, now here you are. Well, actually, I have a really good life. Actually, I enjoy a lot of stuff. Actually, yeah, well, this is good. I appreciate this. Thank you. I'm having a good time. Yeah. I have a family. I love my family. I love where I live. I love what I do. You know, are there things that I would like to have be different? Yeah. And I can make those changes. There's no reason not to. There's nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's one way that I was thinking about it, actually, now I'm remembering, about how it's like taking ego personally is sort of like taking the cold personally. Like, say you're outside and the wind is blowing and you're cold, and it's as if thinking that, or this is the way I was thinking about it, is as if I was taking the cold personally. And when really, you know, I'm doing all this stuff to try and get warm, and practice is like, oh, here's a jacket, put the jacket on, you know, or and then, you know, you pick up the recorder and that's the hat and the scarf, and then you tune into the show and you've got your mittens on, and then you're all warm and cozy, and it's just like the cold is coming. Like, it's not about you. It's nothing about what you're doing. It's just a force out there trying to make you cold, because that's what it does. And we have all these
that's
different...
And if we want to carry that in a slightly different direction, but ego is going out into the cold in a t-shirt and then complaining about the cold, right? And ego is ready to go out the door in a t-shirt, and you say, you know, you're going to get cold. No, I'm not. I don't care. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
that's the kind of force that we're living with. And so, as you say, as soon as we turn our attention away from its game and we start taking advantage of all of the things that take care of us, now we're living in a world where actually, if the cold is just the weather, we can enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Mhm. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we have to have our mittens, and we need our scarf and our hat and our jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to have those things and appreciate them, be grateful for them, and make use of them. So when I was saying to Susan, you know, you want that time of solitude every day, and silence every day. There's your jacket, your scarf, your mittens,
and not to dismiss it. I think that's what happens too. You start it, and then you start being like, oh well, I can do without the mittens today, you know. It's like,
that's
and
the humility of that, right? From hubris to humility. No, I actually can't. Thank you very much. The number of people who hear, well, you know, you should be able to do this by yourself. Well, okay. In another universe, maybe so. In this one, I'm not. I don't even aspire to it. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because the myself that wants me to do this with it, I'm not interested in going through life with that. Thank you very much. I want all the help I can get.
Yeah, that's a great, great, I don't know what, point. Thank you for saying that. right. Yeah. Well, yeah. Thank you.
Well,
so
we'll
much.
Miss you in a couple of weeks, but I can tell
man,
you're busy
yeah.
doing lots of things. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, I'm hope. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Next time. All right.
Yes. All right. Thank you.
You'll Good be night. There with us in spirit, right?
Yes, I will. Yes, I will.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
We can even designate right. a Zafu for you. So you
okay.
can be with us.
That would be.
All right.
That would be awesome. All right.
All
Thank
right.
you.
Thanks, Vanessa. Right. Good night.
Yeah. Good night. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Vanessa. Sherry, I love that analogy of the cold and the mittens and the jacket and the hat. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
I can picture all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the idea that I there's no reason for me to do without anything. Whatever
yes.
life wants to give me in terms of support, I'm in. I
yep.
don't need to go it
yep.
alone. Why would I want to do that? This whole universe is going to support me if I just say yes. I'm in for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Sherry, we got about 4 minutes. Do you want to try one short call here?
Sure.
We call
Why
nine.
Not? Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Emily from Seattle.
Well, hello, Emily.
Hi. I just needed a little support right now. I had a hard scene with my 12-year-old last night. And and it was, well, ego's just taking it right now. It like ended okay. And it actually ended like with a lot of compassion. And
on both sides?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was
mm-hmm.
very tender and I felt strong and good and like this, you know, we'll work this out. Some things became apparent and there's some things to work out. But and then today it's like ego's just taking it and just kind of pulling me down to the well, like just talking about how awful that was and like replaying things and just kind of worked me into the state of like almost being fearful of like oh no, and now I took his device away and now how am I going to stand up to that
and so Emily, let me ask you this: would it be appropriate for you to? Is this a son or a daughter?
A son.
Son. Could you have another conversation with him about how he's doing?
About how he's doing today, or
yeah, yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, it's
oh,
kind of
in with him about it.
Yeah, if you and I had a big fight, okay, and
mm-hmm.
it was a big fight, and we got to a place of, okay, are you all right? Yeah, I'm all right. Are you all right? Yeah, are you all right? It wouldn't be unreasonable the next day because of exactly what you're describing, to come back and for one of us to say, so how are you doing today with what we talked about yesterday. Is that an appropriate thing, an appropriate direction with him?
Well, maybe, but I kind of sense he's fine and he's just got a one-track mind, like how is he going to get that thing back?
Right.
Like I think it's more me who's upset, but I could see what.
Well, from what you just said, that might not be necessary. So what
mm-hmm.
you just told me is you suspect he's fine. He's 12. He
mm-hmm.
wants what he wants when he wants it, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's doing the correct 12-year-old thing, right?
you're doing mm-hmm. the correct mom thing. My job is not to let you go in that direction. So you're both being correct for the circumstances, right? And the only mm-hmm. thing that doesn't really fit here is that self-hating voice in your head trying to make you feel bad about being a good mom.
Hmm. Yeah, I just suspect that, but it's kind of really strong right now, even with recording.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course, because you're really vulnerable right now. Because you are a good mom.
Yeah.
Do you love him?
Yeah.
Do you love him?
I do.
Yeah.
A lot.
Do you enjoy making him unhappy?
No, it's really hard to see.
Of course you don't. It's really hard, and it's really hard to do. It's why parents spoil children, right? Because we don't like for them to be unhappy, and we especially don't like to be the ones who make them unhappy. And yet, it is in the job description.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take a page out of Vanessa's book and mm-hmm. suggest a two-handed recording.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well,
you tried
that
it?
That re-inspired me. Well, I did. Maybe more conversationally, but...
Yeah, more. And let that mom who suffers over this talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you listen and you see if you want to be on her side or on the side of those voices. Because if you want to be on her side, then you're going to have to be the compassionate presence that says to the voices, no, 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 you don't get to beat on her. For being a loving parent. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that. Yeah, I need to do that. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. And you can. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I need.
Good.
Okay. Thank you.
There she goes. She's off to do it.
Yes, I am.
All right. Okay, good.
Okay.
Thank you, Emily. Thank you for that.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Bye. Good night.
Night.
Thanks for joining us, Emily. Sherry, I can never tire of that message of saying no to the voices and self-hate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just always lands for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And we just have example after example after example of those hateful voices going after people's goodness, their love, their care, their concern.
Yes.
And that's what makes us vulnerable, right? When we're in that caring, loving place, we're vulnerable. We don't want to see our children be unhappy. We don't want to, we don't want to make anybody unhappy, right? And so we're vulnerable to those ugly, hateful voices making us feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
Very painful. Yeah, and we have the tools to put a stop to it. No.
Yeah.
Jacket,
you don't
get
to
do that.
And the gloves.
Yeah,
and
that's right. And that. We put all those things on and say, nope, you're not freezing me out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
so
thank you so much, Michael.
Yes, thank you, and thank everyone.
Thank everyone.
Okay,
go
happy,
everybody. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.